Chapter 14, Ananda Brindavan Champu, The Spring Festival of Holi. As the rising sun beautified the blue sky with a brilliant light, Krishna got up and dressed gorgeously like a dramatic actor. Taking his cows and friends, he entered the forest of Brindavan. Every day, Nandanandana, who satisfies the desires of all surrendered souls, roamed and played in the forest in order to remove the distress of separation felt by the forest deer, birds, and creepers. When Krishna went to the forest, Batu, a nickname for Madhu Mangal, decided to wander alone in the village of Gokul. He had a plan to open a treasure box of good fortune for the residents of Brindavan. Batu looked somewhat funny with his thick neck and slightly bent over body as he sauntered down the road. Upon seeing Batu, the aristocratic mothers-in-laws of the gopis suddenly approached him and welcomed him with great affection. In a submissive tone, they said, "O wise one of keen intelligence, have you studied the Vedas that ornament every man of knowledge?" Smiling slightly, Batu replied, "Oh, I am a powerful astrologer, fully versed in the Agamas. What is the use of studying other scriptures which are not very palatable to the intelligence?" The elderly gopi said, "O best person in the world, please tell us what profound truth you have discovered in all your studies." Batu jokingly replied, "O best ladies of Brindavan, the Jyotish Shastra astrology shines with great power and influence. By studying astrology, one can know the good and bad events of the past and also predict the auspicious and inauspicious things that will happen now and in the future. By worshipping the demigods described in the Agama Shastra, one obtains the power to cause or prevent things from happening. Such astrologers can make the impossible become possible and turn the possible into the impossible." The gopis replied, "Bravo! Well done! All glories to you! This time is just suitable to ask you a few questions. As dakshin for your service, we will offer you many rich, tasty laddus. We have a very confidential question that we cannot ask inside our houses. Please dispel our doubt. Is there any person on earth or in heaven who will not use his knowledge to benefit others?" Smiling, Batu said, "If you give me many cows with full milk bags, I will bestow my mercy upon you. I am a wise Brahmana, and by consulting the planetary transits, I can tell you exactly what is auspicious and inauspicious. Hidden within me is the power of omniscience." In a jubilant mood, the gopis said, "The wealth of cows is like dust particles for us. If you answer our question, we can give you whatever you want from this world." Batu said, "Wealth does not interest me, but in order to spread my fame, I am requesting this. So now you may ask your question." The elderly gopi said, "We are chaste housewives of Brindavan and are not feeling the slightest misery, but we have one unsolvable problem. Although our daughters-in-law are as beautiful as lotus flowers, they are not the least bit happy. From the day of their marriages, they have been deaf to the names of their husbands, what to speak of looking at them. Where in the world can one find such ladies that find absolutely no joy in being with their husbands? Even to this day, they are proud and show aversion toward their husbands. This problem has made us completely miserable. We want to resolve this. If you can solve the problem, your fame will be spread all over the world." Understanding the minds of the elderly gopis, Kusumasava Batu fell silent. He pretended to be deeply absorbed in meditating on Saraswati in order to solve the gopis' dilemma. First, Batu acted like a big acharya by spending a long time in silent contemplation before responding. Then, smiling slightly and behaving comically like some big orator, he jokingly said, "Oh, auspicious ladies, although I am Krishna's friend, my happiness will be ruined if he finds out that I am helping his antagonists. Therefore, you must keep these things secret and not tell anyone. Please bring some fruit and I will explain why your daughters-in-law are averse to their husbands. When Bhattu, whose inexhaustible grace and beauty are rarely seen, received the fruit, he thought deeply for a moment and spoke. Oh, cultured ladies, there are two kinds of defects seen here, one material and the other spiritual. Your daughters are adverse because their husbands are full of material defects such as bad behavior and ugliness. Everyone knows about this. So what is the use of applying the wisdom of astrology to solve this problem? Now listen attentively as I explain the transcendental factors. Here in Vrindavan, there is one yogini who is against you. Her lotus feet are worshipped by the best of yogis. By her incredible mystic power, she can bring anyone under her control, and she can even split the sun in half. That playful yogini is known as Yoga Maya. By her illusory potency, she made it look like your sons are married to particular gopis. Yoga Maya then propagated the fact among the ignorant to make them think it was a real marriage. She also created the bad qualities in your sons and the antagonistic mood found in your daughters-in-law. Your daughters and their husbands are not fit to live together. Therefore, Yoga Maya has personally prohibited your sons from even touching their wives. Using her tremendous power, Yoga Maya will soon make your daughters-in-law give up any sense of being married to your sons. But if you are very affectionate towards your daughters-in-law, then that yogini will become favorable and help you. Moreover, if you want your sons to become fortunate, then you should make sure they do not even touch their wives. Your sons are very unhappy when they hear that Krishna attracts their wives and forcibly embraces them with his long serpentine arms. But soon your sons will become very happy and prosperous when their wives glance favorably upon them like the goddess of fortune. Although overwhelmed by Bhattu's words and feeling great distress, the elderly gopis hoped that something auspicious would happen soon. In that mood, the gopis said, "O Bhattu, you are the embodiment of truth. Surely your words are not the statements of a mere child, but rather the wisdom of an omniscient Brahmana. Indeed, you are a competent astrologer. Now please show us the power you have obtained by mastering the Agamas. Please teach us how to carefully worship the appropriate demigods so that we can prevent that yogini from harassing our sons." Madamango said, "You can appease that angry yogini by worshipping another demigod who is supremely pure, imperishable, and infallible." Gaining relief from Bhattu's words, the elderly gopis expressed their appreciation by offering him a valuable necklace. Then the gopis said gleefully, "O Bhattu, you are a mine of the best jewel-like qualities. Please tell us who is that demigod and what is his nickname. Tell us all the details about worshipping him." Bhattu replied, "O fortunate ones, you are very effulgent and your speech sounds like lovely singing. There is a demigod named Kandarpa who resides in Vrindavan as the Kunja Devata, the personified lord of the love groves. His body is the color of a rain cloud. He is ever youthful and transcendental. That yogini Yogamaya who enchants all the demigods always remains submissive to this youthful personality known as Kandarpa. By his sweet will, Kandarpa satisfies the cherished desires of the gopis whose eyes are beautified with kajal. If you can please this demigod, then you will always be happy. But if you anger him, even Sankara Mahadev cannot save you. That demigod delights in sporting from one forest grove to another. Although no one can see him, those who worship him with unalloyed devotion can see him in meditation. The method of his worship is very difficult, and it must be performed at exactly the right time. Only those who perform meritorious works can worship him. Listen attentively as I describe how to worship Him. First, you must adorn yourself with very costly jewels and smear your bodies with attractive ointments. Rejecting the opinion of others, you must give up your shyness and go to Vrindavan to pick flowers. You must abandon all other talks and constantly fix your mind only on Him. You must be free from any cheating mentality. Then you can worship Him according to all the rules and regulations. You should go to one grove after another and worship that youthful Kandarpa 3 times a day with incense, lamps, flowers, and fragrant substances. After the worship is finished, he will lay down on a bed of fresh tender leaves, remaining awake the whole night with his friends. Besides perfectly fulfilling your cherished desires, this puja will give you the power to control anyone in the world if you do the puja in the morning, noon, and night. There are many mantras to worship this demigod, but the best one is the Gopal mantra. If you have faith in me, I will tell you that mantra. The elderly gopis said, "Oh, Bhattacharya, without a mantra, how can one worship Kandarpa? Oh, revered one, may your fame spread in all directions. Please teach us that mantra, and we'll give it to our daughters-in-law." Bhattu said, "Oh, ladies, you have spoken correctly. Now may that demigod who possesses the unlimited wealth of 6 opulences be happy with you. Considering the time and place, I will instruct you in the proper mantra. The mantra is, Achincha Mahase Kunja Devatayai Rasatmane Swaha. That is, I offer myself to the great, inconceivable Lord of the Love Groves who forever relishes tasty mellows. This concludes the method of worshipping that beautiful and splendorous Kunja Devata. Now go to a lonely place and nicely worship the Kunja Devata. Just as a raging river spills over its banks, similarly, by the flood of His mercy, you will overcome all unfavorable situations. In that way, Yogamaya will become powerless before you. Everything I told you was in the Agama Jyoti Shastra. By doing this, you will also receive my favor." After successfully deceiving the old ladies with these secret teachings, which were laced with many funny hidden meanings, that brahmachari quickly left them. The elderly gopis affectionately accepted the words of that expert talker and returned to their homes. Without envy, they instructed their daughters-in-law, who beamed like the attractive flames of ghee lamps, in the worship of the Kunja Devata. The elderly gopis said, "Oh, Mama," that is an affectionate term for the wife of one's son, "you come from a high-class family. Indeed, you are famous for your kindness and refined qualities, which crush the pride of the celestial men. But we also see many defects in you that are not found even among the women on earth. One of your main faults is your aversion to your husbands. We do not even want to see our enemies having this fault. Therefore, we will tell you a vrata which we learned from the Brahmana Marumango. By happily observing this vrata, you can quickly remove this obstacle to your good fortune, make your husband happy, increase your devotion to him, and please your superiors. You must take a vow to wander through the kunjas of Vrindavan, constantly worshipping Kandarpa, the demigod who fulfills the desires of everyone." Not believing their ears, the daughters-in-law adopted a mood of astonishment and displeasure with this suggestion. The young gopis thought, "What are they saying? Are our mothers-in-law testing us? Or maybe they have discovered our secret love." Their minds vacillating in confusion, they sat down silently. Before making any response, they wanted to hear their mothers-in-law disclose everything from beginning to end. While the daughters-in-law sat silently, the elderly gopis, in order to hide their defects from the people in general, privately instructed them in the vows and methods for worshipping the devata known as Kandarpa. The younger gopis thought, "Our mothers are giving us joy and satisfaction by pouring this rasayana that is an Ayurvedic rejuvenator, into our ears. Kusumasava has certainly created a grand festival for us. Their bodies glowing with beauty and feeling great relief, the gopis spontaneously replied to their mothers-in-law, "Oh, cultured ladies of Vrindavan, are there any wives who would not submissively follow the instructions of their mother-in-law? Even if we become lean and thin, we are ready to go to the forest and execute this rata. Why should we waste our lives staying at home? We should not wait another minute. Let us go immediately. Your instructions given to increase our fortune sound as sweet as a melodious song." The daughters promised to follow the orders of their mothers-in-law, who no longer prevented them from going to Vrindavan to pick flowers. Every day, those restless, fortunate girls joyfully went to Vrindavan. Instead of chastising them, their elders now praised and encouraged them. With great difficulty, the gopis tried to restrain the chariots of their minds and keep their poise as they walked past their superiors and relatives. Driven by minds permeated with Krishna prema, the gopis quickly arrived in Vrindavan. At that time, Krishna, adorned with a charming pearl necklace, played in a neighboring forest. Infatuated by their totally pure love for Krishna, the gopis pulsated with desire to receive his delightful glance. Meanwhile, back in the village, the Brajakumaris, that is the unmarried gopis, intensely hankered to please Krishna with their conjugal love. But they were neither old enough nor allowed to go out to worship Kandarpa. The faces of these restless young gopis radiated a pale pink glow due to their bhava. Having recently completed their Katyayani Vrat, Danyasaki and the other Brajakumaris were full of anxiety. Their throats choked up, and their gorgeous golden faces turned pale due to frustration. Seeing the distressed condition of their daughters, their aristocratic mothers also felt depressed. Contemplating how to help them, they said, "Oh, dear daughters, did Yoga Maya Devi create some special auspiciousness in your hearts by giving you an enchanting order?" Tarangavati, the daughter of a nurse, said, "Oh, dear mothers, please listen attentively to my words. Regarding your question, how can you expect all the girls to answer you? If you want to know what is wrong, then listen and I will tell you. This is the custom of a daughter born in a good family. At the right time, I will tell you whatever I know. Since I am honest and very close to you all, I can tell you everything as it is. Previously, your daughters worshipped and pleased the famous Yogamaya Devi, who is unattainable by all the demigods. At that time, Yogamaya blessed them all with a divine command. Yogamaya said, "Within a short time, all of you will see a very exalted and majestic personality who by the rays of his effulgence derides all other powers. I have never seen such an influential personality. He is like the sun, the lord of the lotuses, and his body is deep blue in color like a royal bumblebee. He will be your husband, and your power and prestige will exceed the goddess of fortune. Besides following the vow to get a husband, there's something else you should do to achieve success in your endeavor." Yogamaya continued, "Because you have faith in me, I am affectionately telling this to you. Please be patient and listen as I explain more. When your attachment to other things cease, then try to follow my instructions. O girls possessing matchless qualities, in the forest of Vrindavan, there is a goddess named Brinda who is very compassionate by nature. Since she has the power of fulfillment, she is always thinking how to satisfy the cherished desires of the devotees." Tarangavati Saki continued, "Therefore, dear ladies, it is not a good idea to prevent your daughters from going to Vrindavan. This forest is completely spiritual. By living there, many devotees have achieved the fruits of their austerities. One who serves this forest can immediately attain his desired goal. Please give them permission to go so that they can complete the work directed by Yogamaya Devi." After hearing these words with great delight, the mothers consented by slightly smiling at their anxious daughters. Obtaining sanction from their mothers, All the young unmarried gopis like Dhanyasaki wandered in the various groves of Vrindavan. With the arrival of spring, the different types of Brajagopis enjoyed many hilarious pastimes. The married gopis started the fun by sneaking off to the forest to pick flowers. Then the unmarried gopis, who had previously worshipped Katyayani, took permission from their mothers to worship Kandarpa. Without anyone's knowledge, they also worshipped Vrindadevi. Now these intelligent gopis could enter the forest of Vrindavan and attain the intimate association of Krishna. The tender petals of the Kunda flowers of spring broke the fierce tusks of the elephant of winter. The spring season arrived in the form of a playful lion cub showing his teeth as the stamens of the flowers. The southern breezes forced the chills of winter to depart. It appeared as if the nostrils of personified time had now opened and started breathing in and out. The juncture of winter and spring seemed like the period between boyhood and adolescence. The tender creepers exploded with new buds. The cuckoos sang a sweet melody, but not the fifth note of coo-hoo, coo-hoo, which lovers murmur at union. Though the southern breezes had begun, they were weak due to their lingering attachment to the Malaya hills. It seemed that buds, birds, and breezes simultaneously awaited the departure of the winter season. The creepers looked like pregnant ladies waiting to give birth to fresh flowers. With their gentle humming, the bumblebees inquired repeatedly from all directions about the location of spring. Moreover, immediately upon smelling the fragrance, the cuckoos took shelter in the treetops to savor the fresh mango blossoms. After eating them, they made sweet, drawn-out tunes of coo-hoo, coo-hoo. It seems the cuckoos sang softly in fear that the spring season may not arrive with their favorite food of fresh mango sprouts. The forest welcomed the spring season with the sweet fragrances of fresh flowers. With the disappearance of winter, the forest beamed with delight like a man feeling fresh and clean after bathing. The creepers appeared to be smeared with rich aromas. Overwhelmed with joy, the birds sang happily. It seemed that the wives of the directions smiled favorably at the arrival of the spring season. Sandalwood paste appeared as moonshine to pleasantly anoint the night. The Malayan breezes moving here and there carried the sweet flavor of fragrant flowers. The bumblebees returning to their hives appeared to be tied up together as they moved about with each other. The mango trees filled with tiny bumps of joy from the touch of the awakening Madhavi creepers. What more can be said about the arrival of spring? It seemed as if Kandarpa had just changed his body. Vrindavan is beautified with the different periods of the six seasons manifested in different places. But to nourish Krishna's sweet pastimes, the sequence of seasons sometimes changes to suit his needs. For example, sometimes the dewy season comes after winter, or spring season follows the rainy season. Sometimes all the seasons combine, approach the Lord, and ask if they can serve Him. With the arrival of spring, Shyamasundara, greedy for pleasure and full of prema, decided to stage a wonderful pastime to fulfill the desires of the girls of Gokula, whose hearts surge with Sringara Ras. The hearts of the gopis move with the speed of the wind to meet the Prince of Vrindavan, who embodies all good fortune. The Vanadevis incited the forest to explode with unlimited beauty and fresh fragrances. Krishna, the ocean of elegance, appeared like a dramatic artist dressed in colorful garments. The Chamari deer prepared the stage by sweeping the forest floor with their bushy tails. The honey nectar dripping from the flowers moistened the rich soil. Wandering Kusturi deer scented the air with the heady fragrance of musk. Swarms of intoxicated bees danced in midair and buzzed among the flowering creepers. On Vasant Panchami, the first day of spring, Shyamasundara, whose joyfully sweet and sportive nature spread in all directions, filled the horizon with the reflection of his beautiful blue complexion. By his inconceivable potency, spring burst into bloom throughout the land of Vrindavan. The Brajabasis mistook the nectar shower of Krishna's sweet beauty to be an unexpected monsoon rain. The eyes, ears, and minds of the Brajabasis tingled with joy upon hearing that spring had arrived and that Krishna hankered to enjoy a festival. The hearts of the moon-faced gopis throbbed with anxiety to meet their beloved. Overpowered by the intoxication of spring and a strong desire to attend the festival, Radhika, Chandravali, Shamadevi, and all their respective girlfriends abandoned their shyness and ran to the forest. With great love and affection, Vrinda Devi and her Vana Devis appropriately decorated Radhika and the gopis for the joyous festival of spring. They dressed them in colorful clothing, fresh flowers, and 16 types of items of ornamentation. The gopis remembered the boon that Krishna had given them when he snatched their clothes while they bathed in the Yamuna. At that time, Krishna said, "Oh, my dear Sakis, in some future night, you will enjoy confidential pastimes with me." Because the gopis had fixed their minds on the desire to attain Krishna, they felt a moment to be like a million millenniums. The Vanadevis were amazed at the sight of the assembled gopis that looked like a garden full of rows and rows of the best quality golden creepers. The Vanadevis dressed the gopis, their revered objects of love, in clothing suitable for the spring festival. Vrinda felt very joyful as she personally decorated Radhika with flower ornaments. She set white lilies in Radhika's hair and placed a Bakula garland across her hairline that seemed to kiss Radha's forehead. Then Vrinda Devi adorned Radha's hair part with deftly placed red Ashok flowers, hung mango buds over her ears, and covered her breasts with a Vasanti garland. Due to their enthusiasm to enjoy the festival of spring, the Vanadevis competed with each other in order to quickly finish their work. They bragged to each other, "I will do the dressing." Another one said, "No, I will do it." As a final touch, they smeared the bodies of Chandravali and the other gopis with sandalwood pulp and offered them splendid flower garlands. The gorgeous gopis further beautified the forest. The gopis wrapped their bodies in saris covered with gold jari. They wore brightly colored blouses and veils of the finest soft cloth. They chewed tambula, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies, and sported fragrant flower garlands. The different articles used to adorn the gopis came from the desire trees and creepers growing abundantly everywhere in Vrindavan. The desire trees also produced the flower bombs for celebrating Holi. These bombs, made of different colored perfume powders packed in lac, were so fragile that they would break open just by breathing on them. The desire trees provided other weapons such as flower bows and arrows, pichkaris, that is jeweled syringes for squirting liquid color, and musk paste. When spring appeared, Matangi, a Kinnari goddess, was an acharya of music, and her female ensemble of expert veena players came to play for the festival. The Vasant Rag spring tune personified accompanied Matangi as an attractively dressed woman. The personified forms of Sapta Swara, seven notes, and Shruti, marginal notes, also followed her. Matangi approached Radhika, the greatest among the lotus-eyed gopis, having beautiful, bashful bodies overflowing with affection. Although she is an excellent speaker, Matangi flooded with happiness and fell silent when she stood before Radhika. Seeing this, Vrinda said, "Hey, Radhe! You are an unlimited reservoir of the best qualities. Please have faith in my words when I say that these ladies are fantastic musicians." Pointing to Matangi, Vrinda said, "This is Matangi, the master of all masters of music. Even the Kinnaris, that is the famous celestial singers, learn from her. O supremely cultured and worshipable lady, whose mind will not be elated by participating in this flourishing festival of spring. Matangi has come here along with all her musical paraphernalia just to please you. Her associates are experts in playing veena. Here is Vasanta Rag, pleasant and elegant with her jeweled crown, deep blue dress, and the peacock feather in her hair. She is feeding soft, fresh mango buds to the cuckoos. By nature, she is maddened with ecstasy." Seeing Vasundhara displaying an irresistible joy, Radhika remembered Saimasundara and looked at her curiously. Dressed as a young girl, Vasundhara considered herself fortunate to have received a glance from Radharani. Then Matungi, the expert musician who walks with the grace of a she-elephant, said, "O beloved of Krishna, who vanquished Kaliya by dancing on his hoods, the 12 associates of Shruti and the 7 associates of Swara have come with me in order to serve your lotus feet. Just hear how their singing far surpasses that of the Kinneries." On hearing their artistic singing, Lalita said joyfully, "Hey, Sangeeta Devi," a second name for Matungi, "even the wives of the king of the Kinneras could not equal their excellence in singing." Matungi replied, "O Lalita, Shruti will not manifest in a voice full of mucus. Regarding Veenas, Brahma created 2 types, one fretted and one non-fretted. There are 22 shrill notes in a non-fretted Veena and 7 in a fretted one. What more can I say? O worshipable one, soon you can test them yourself by glancing over the Shrutis. Once you hear the 6th note along with its 4 Shrutis, then conviction will remove your doubts. Although pleasant to hear, it is impossible to comprehend." Saying this, Matungi, the expert musician, sang the tonic note, Sudja, and its 4 distinct marginal notes by using the unfretted Veena. The marginal notes could be distinguished, manifesting themselves according to the pitch of the Veena. The strings of the unfretted Veena can be played to give the correct intonation, which is as relishable as the Vedas. After Matungi pleased everyone with her singing, a Sakhi named Sangeeta Vidya spoke jokingly with hidden intentions. She said, "Matungi, you have very expertly sung the 4 marginal notes along with the Veena, but you did not sing even a single micro tone of the 7th or the 2nd note of the scale. Of course, knowledge of the notes is very difficult for human beings. But Lalita Sakhi, Radhika's dear friend, can sing all the divisions of the notes. If you want, Lalita can demonstrate her singing perfection. Though you may be unfamiliar with the marginal notes of each note because they tend to blend in the note, Lalita can reveal all the 22 marginal notes separately by her knowledge of the sound of each microtone." When she spoke in this way, the forest deity said, "Oh, Sangeeta Vidya, the knowledge of music that Matungi has just recited originates from the touch of Brahma, but what you have spoken is beyond the universe manifested by Brahma. But both systems are faultless." Radhika worried that Matungi may have felt offended by this conversation. So knitting her brow, she said, "Hey, Sangeeta Vidya with false intelligence, you are a liar, so you should stop speaking. Clearly distinguishing the marginal notes as Matungi has just sung could never be done by Lakshmi, the demigods, and what to speak of Lalita Sakhi. Therefore, Matungi Devi is the best of musicians. Now let her satisfy Vrinda Devi and the forest deities with her singing." Vrinda said, "Matungi, until Krishna arrives, you should not sing the Vasanta rag. You can sing another rag with an attractive new melody." According to the request, Matungi exquisitely sang the Bele Bele rag, which flowed like a pool of water from the ocean of rasa. She produced 5 varieties of marginal notes by mixing her voice with the sound of 4 types of Veenas: the festive Mahati, the playful Kavilasika, the tortoise-shaped Kachapi, and the broad-bodied Swara Mandalika. The musicians played each micro tone exactly in pitch with her voice and thus satisfied the ears of everyone. The powerful singing, attractive music, and the vibration of the Veenas at that festival transported everyone into a realm of divine bliss. Sri Radha, the gopis, Vrindadevi, and the Vanadevis listened with rapt attention to the sterling performance of Matungi Devi. Her singing, backed by Veenas, mridangas, flutes, gongs, and drums, vibrated so sweetly that even the demigods fell into enchantment. The music floated through the air for a long distance. Anyone who heard it felt invigorated throughout his body. Hearing Matungi's musical concert with its wonderful rhythm and tune, Shingara Ras personified entered the gopis' hearts and caused their lotus petal eyes to bloom wide. The gopis looked nervously from side to side like frightened deer in a forest. As the gopis stood on the forest path listening to the Vasanta rag, one of Radhika's sakis took the form of that rag and sang happily. Upon hearing that rag, Nandakishore, the embodiment of unlimited bliss, initiated a unique spring festival which no one had ever seen before. The gopis absorbed their minds in Krishna when they saw him approaching them with a desire to enjoy. The sweetness of their beautiful bodies increased as fresh waves of ecstasy rose within them. One gopi said, "O Radhika, your eyes are shining with the same excitement that you reveal when intimately enjoying with Krishna. Indeed, Krishna always reigns as the Lord of your heart. Coming before us as personified spring, Krishna is full of ecstasy and dressed as a daring, dramatic dancer. He is carrying various paraphernalia for sporting. Just see how that Cupid shines among his friends. He looks like the full moon surrounded by its entourage of stars. O Radhe, how much can persons like us describe the extent of your glorious good fortune? Look, look! His effulgent white turban appears especially splendid sitting obliquely on his head. It is decorated with bunches of flowers, sprinkled with fragrant reddish powder, and surrounded by buzzing bumblebees shaking his peacock feather. Tiny fresh mango flowers hang from his ears, which are slightly elongated from the weight of his elegant jeweled earrings. His earrings swing enchantingly to cast exotic reflections on his cheeks. A beautiful malati garland mixed with some sweet tulsi mundari surrounds his neck. His curly dark blue hair is tied back ready for sporting. Krishna wears glittering yellow garments just suitable for his spring pastimes. His jeweled waist bells dance and a sachet of camphor is tucked in his attractive gem-studded belt. Natural belts made of jute encircle his handsome hips. The ankle bells on Krishna's lotus feet are jingling a sweet tune of Runu, Junu, Runu, Junu. While listening to the Vasanta rag, Krishna held a flute in his left hand and a ball of red powder in his right hand. Subal and the other close friends stood beside him. Relishing that sweet song, Krishna moved his head in time with the tune. His eyes rolled in intoxication as if tired from conjugal pleasure. Some coward boys offered him fresh tambula wrapped in golden pond leaves. While relishing the tambula, Krishna's lips turned reddish from the drops of betel juice. Soon Krishna and his boyfriends inaugurated the spring festival of Holi by singing, dancing, and throwing balls of fine reddish powder in all directions. The lightweight, sweet-smelling powder just floated in the air. As it gradually fell down, it beautifully colored and scented Krishna's turban, hair, eyelids, and tilak. Krishna's friends sang Charsari and Dvi Padika songs in the Vasanta rag with clear marginal notes and notes in the three scales. In this way, they blissfully danced and played while repeatedly throwing red powder balls at each other. One gopi said to Radhika, "Look, just see. The unconscious things have come alive from hearing their singing." Overjoyed by the glance of Krishna, the forest creepers display ecstatic symptoms. The gentle breezes from the Malayan hills appear as a guru to teach the forest creepers how to dance. With their new leaves, they exhibit various mudras, hand positions, to go along with the song of the bees. When someone tries to pick the honey-sweet flowers, the creepers seem to shiver in fear with their quivering buds. Their blossoming flowers appear like exuberant laughter. Then they show anger by frowning with their eyebrows appearing as the swarms of bees. One creeper, seeing Krishna's impulsive nature and being moved by the wind, covered her flower cluster breast with the leaf of her left hand. With the leaf of her right hand, She beckoned her friends for help while shyly smiling with the blossoming flower of her face. Therefore, Radhika, I tell you, in this Vrindavan, how is it possible to remain patient and control one's intelligence during such an ecstatic holy festival? Understanding Radhika's inner mood, Shyamasakhi said, O Vrindadevi, why are you agitating us while giving bliss to the moon-like Shyamasundara? You know we can never go against your will, so quickly arrange the joyous holy festival and thereby bring unlimited happiness to us all. By nature, the door of shyness creates an obstacle in the houses of the married gopis' bodies. At the same time, their eagerness to love Krishna is so strong that even an axe cannot cut it. Their minds are constantly full of anguish. Although they tolerate it with unrivaled patience, they are in a terribly unfortunate condition. To remove their misfortune, the gopis should definitely do some worship on this auspicious day of the spring festival. During the time of picking flowers, it will be easy for us to perform that puja. O Sakis, you are the embodiments of auspiciousness and expert in all arts. Let us celebrate the festival of spring with that honorable prince of Braja. After hearing Shyamasakhi's timely words arousing conjugal love, Brinda spoke to the queen of Vrindavan. O Radhika, I understand that in name, beauty, form, and gentle behavior, there is one other Sakhi who is eligible to hear the songs of Matangi. Just now, Chandrabali and Choru Chandra Sakhi are making some curious sounds as they advance with their party to celebrate the festival of Holi. It appears that they are illuminating this mango grove with a pleasant effulgence. Indeed, Matangi, the embodiment of all the smritis and swaras of the Vasanta Rag, has become successful by intoxicating everyone with her joyous singing. Although she also is immersed in that ecstasy, she has not lost her self-control. After honoring Radhika with her words, Brinda engaged in the service of Chandravali. She told Matangi to sing pleasing tunes with the expanded shrutis that always manifest in spring. Matangi's singing defeated the splendor of the rising golden sun. Within a moment, the desire to observe a grand festival arose from the desire tree of Chandravali's heart. Then Chandravali and her sakis joyfully threw colors to celebrate Holi. They squirted forceful streams of fragrant colored liquids on each other with elegant jeweled inlaid pichkaris syringes. The streams of water were sensually pleasing mixtures of sandalwood paste, camphor, kasturi, kunkum, and golak diluted in water. While squirting each other, they sang and danced around in time with the music of the Vasanta Rag. In great fun, they also threw flower bombs of scented red powder on each other. Being driven by the Cupid elephant of blissful enjoyment, Chandravali and her gopi friends, whose beauty derided millions of heavenly goddesses, happily sported in the spring festival. Meanwhile, Shirada, whose joyful, captivating smile is sweeter than honey, surprised everyone by her behavior. First, she cast restless glances in the direction of Krishna, and then she looked at Chandravali. Then, suddenly, for no apparent reason, Radhika abruptly wandered away on the pretext of picking flowers. The Prince of Vrindavan, who disseminates limitless joy, played Holi with his young friends while dancing down the road towards the forest where the gopis had assembled. Batu jumped around continually while raising and lowering his head in a funny way as he led the party. The necklaces on his chest swung pleasantly from his comic movements. While making everyone laugh, Batu looked in all directions as if searching for something. In the distance, Batu heard the sounds and laughter of another holy festival. He heard the sweet jingling of the gopis' ankle bells and bangles as they rhythmically danced through the forest. He also heard the music of veenas, mridangas, and murtajas mixing with the sweet singing of Chandravali, Charuchandra, and other sakis as they stood in a circle clapping their hands. The blend of these sounds created a charming concert of enchanting music. Hearing that music increased Madhu Mangal's enthusiasm to relish the holy festival. In a blissful mood, he spoke to his dear friend. O Krishna, is it the echo of our own singing that we hear? Or is it someone else's sweet songs challenging ours? If it is not our singing, then let us find out who it is. Adorned with gems and ornaments, Krishna, the crest jewel of handsome youths, replied to Batu. O graceful one, that music is from someone else. But how come this music is mixing with ours and at the same time overpowering it? Go find its source. Feeling ecstatic, Batu ran quickly toward that jingling sound. There he saw Radharani, who was praised as the crest jewel of all beautiful women, including Lakshmi, who was charming simplicity, who has reddish palms more delicate than Java flowers, who graces the earth with her transcendental form, and who appears like the personified beauty of spring-picked Madhavi flowers. Batu said, O impudent Lalita, why do you sit on a mountain of pride? It is astonishing that you are acting so offensively. Don't you know that today is the first day of the spring festival? My friend Krishna is just nearby, anxious to enjoy many pastimes in this Madhavi grove. Therefore, we have not picked any flowers in this garden. You, however, are so arrogant that you have taken all the Madhavi leaves and flowers which were meant for Krishna. Are you not familiar with the snake-like arms of my friend who crushes the pride of Kandarpa? Ha, okay. Soon you will come to know. Just wait here while I go tell him what you have done. Running back to Krishna, Batu said, My dear friend, it seems your opulent spring festival will soon reach its climax. Vasanta Lakshmi, the personified beauty of spring, and all her expanded potencies are not far from here. With various tasteful arrangements, she gives new life to the joyous festival of spring. The unique singing of the gopis, which is accompanied by mrudangas, veenas, cymbals, and horns, cannot be found anywhere on earth. What to speak of earth? Even the greatest celestial singers cannot comprehend it. Besides that, they have collected more paraphernalia to celebrate Holi than can be found anywhere else in the creation of Brahma. The people of this world cannot even imagine it. Alas, I have seen great fun. Krishna, although you are the son of the king of Vrindavan, the size of your holy festival cannot compare with theirs. Krishna replied, O Batu, why are you glorifying and showing so much respect to the enemy? You should praise your own camp and not give them any importance. Of course, I understand the inner mood of your heart. It appears that you have become bewildered from drinking honey wine and therefore you are acting like an intoxicated person. Kusumasava said, There is an Ayurvedic medicine known as Kusumasava, but I am not that Kusumasava. I mean to say that I am not the honey wine made from the kusuma flower which people drink and become intoxicated. Yet somehow people get intoxicated just by drinking my words. Krishna said, well done, my friend. If you have not lost your enthusiasm, then go back and see what the gopis are up to. We'll meet up with you later. Overwhelmed with joy, the humorous Batu returned to the gopis. Then he said boldly, O dur Lalita, that means foul player or mischievous Lalita Sakhi, on the order of my lotus-eyed friend, you should immediately stop picking our Madhavi flowers and get out of this forest. Otherwise, you will be severely punished. Lalita said, O shameless, deceitful Brahmana boy, why are you spoiling your aristocratic birth by blaspheming others? The flawless wives of the gopis have gathered under the sashok tree on the bank of the Yamuna in order to worship Vasanta Madana, Cupid, on this auspicious day of the spring festival. This tradition comes down through a long line of well-behaved gentle souls. Today, the jewel-like heroine Radhika, who is the most chaste housewife in Vrindavan, who is highly moral and who possesses all good qualities, has also come to join us. Although Radhika has many maidservants, she has personally come to perform this important Madana Puja. So why have you come here blubbering like a crazy fellow? Bhatu said, Are, Lalita, apart from Hari, what other Cupid is there? Krishna easily cuts down the pride of Cupid, maddens everyone with desire, and is always intoxicated by it himself. Ignoring the real Cupid, why have you become attached to worshipping some mundane Cupid? Obviously, you must be crazy. Listen, I will do you a favor and be the priest for your Madana Puja. I will chant the benedictory mantras and guide you in performing splendorous worship of Cupid. Now come along and I will take you to him. Radhika said, Hey, Lalite, this expert Brahmin is certainly worthy of our worship. Tell Chandravali and Charuchandra to bring good fortune to our village by respectfully worshiping this priest. Overcome by the spirit of holy, Chandravali and Charuchandra forcibly grabbed Bhatu and covered him from head to toe with varieties of red and purple colors to make him look just like Bhutaraj Shiva, the king of the ghosts. Madhu Mangal screamed, Hey Krishna! Intoxicated with the joy of holy, these shameless gopis have gone crazy. I cannot run away because they have blinded me with the sindura, kumkum, and other fragrant powders. I am also stunned from the colored water they threw over me. Krishna, quickly save me before they commit the sin of killing a brahmana on this auspicious day of holy. Hearing Bhatu's loud crying in the distance, Krishna understood that the simple girls of Vrindavan had diminished his reputation. Running there quickly with his friends, Krishna said, Hala, hala, oho, what a funny scene. The proud gopis glanced at Krishna with a mixed mood of fear, respect, and shyness. Seeing Bhatu sad, silent, and totally defeated, Krishna, pretending to be angry, said, Hango, why have you love-blinded ladies abused and harassed my innocent friend? Which lowly person is responsible for this offense? Now you will be justly punished. Krishna, an expert fighter, attacked the gopis by hitting them between the breasts with a volley of Ashok flower balls. The celestial demigoddesses enthusiastically glorified Krishna. Afterwards, a fierce fight broke out between the gopas and gopis. They threw fragrant red power balls and squirted each other with heavenly scented colored water that felt soft and soothing. A barrage of colors blanketed all directions. Being light in weight, the colored powders just floated and swirled around in the sky to block the sun and create dense darkness. Although nobody could see each other, both sides fought equally. Suddenly, Krishna boldly entered a phalanx of gopis. Vibrating like the sweet sound of Cupid's drum, Krishna's flute resounded triumphantly during the Battle of Eros. The gopis fought heroically in that war against their beloved Shyam. To counteract the weapon of Krishna's enchanting flute, the gopis surrounded him and shot him with the sharpened arrows of their sidelong glances. Somehow, Krishna mounted a ferocious counteroffensive and got free from the clutches of the gopis. But being greedy for more pastimes, Krishna pulled back the bowstring of his dancing eyebrows and shot the gopis with the samprasvapana, sleep-inducing arrow of his glance. Instantly, the gopis felt dizzy and drowsy. Totally fatigued, they yawned and rolled their eyes lazily. Slumping forward, they fell asleep with their chins resting on their chests. Seeing her army stunned and immobilized, Chandravali, the commander-in-chief of the doe-eyed ones, boldly stepped forward to display her prowess. She tried to pierce Krishna's heart with her fluttering eyelids and arrow-like glances. Attempting to enchant the enchanter of the world, she locked Shyamasundara in a tight embrace with her snake-like arms. After some time, Krishna gave up his rapture and resumed his attack on the phalanxes of gopis. Kissing them, snapping their necklaces, ripping open their blouses, Krishna appeared like an elephant in rut, trumpeting joyfully while trampling clumps of lotuses in a forest. The battlefield looked astonishing after the fog of colored powders settled. Red powder completely covered both the gopis and the sporting field. The colored water and musk drops dripping off the bodies of the gopis muddied the ground. The holy battlefield appeared to be sprinkled with the blood from an elephant devastated by an angry lion. The musk drops on the ground looked like bumblebees smelling that blood. Lying on the ground, the fallen pitched kriyas of the gopis looked like teeth and bones of that elephant scattered across the forest floor. The gopis' defeat drowned Madhu Mangal in an ocean of happiness. Raising his arms, he joyfully danced and shouted, "Hey, hey, well done, Krishna. Bravo. In my whole life, I have never felt so good, O Muralidhar. That is what they get for putting your dear friend into such extreme distress. Just see how the gopis' blouses are torn and their carefully strung necklaces are crushed to dust. All their puja paraphernalia is strewn here and there. Their hair, faces, and breasts are covered with colors. They got just what they deserved. But alas, my dear friend, we better watch out, because they can outwit anyone in Brahma's creation. If they again joined forces with their leader Radharani, they will violently attack us in great numbers. Driven by anger, those gopis who are hostile by nature could do anything to us. So let us run away from here before that happens." While smiling, some coward boys said, "Talkativeness is Batu's natural defect. Because of his fickle mind, one minute he acts boldly, and the next moment he shivers in fright. O Krishna, console Batu and keep him from panicking and becoming disturbed again." Krishna said, "O Kusumasava, give up your cowardice. Show me those gopis whom you fear. Why should you be afraid in my presence?" Feeling reassured and confident, Kusumasava continued the battle. Boldly jumping forward, he pointed toward the gopis and said, "This way, this way." Krishna and the coward boys went to a garden of Madhavi creepers wherein Radhika, Lalita, and other sakis picked flowers. In great joy, the gopis attacked Hari with millions of restless, sidelong glances. Krishna shot back with the arrow of his love-laden glance. Hitting Radhika's breast, that arrow pierced the armor of her shyness to release a splendor that radiated in all directions. Radhika retaliated with the arrow of her sidelong glance, which was coated with the deadly poison of the cudgel surrounding her beautiful blue eyes and sharpened by her brightly beaming smile. That arrow mercilessly pierced the heart of Krishna. Seeing his friend completely devastated by Radha's glance, Batu swelled in ecstasy. Shaking his hands and turning his head from side to side, Batu said, "My dear friend, do not become bewildered while I am here to help you. Take this flower bomb and douse them in colors. Alas, what is impossible for one who has a friend like me?" Though weary from the pastime of Holi, Vrishabhanu Nandini suddenly gained great enthusiasm. Radhika's eyes bloomed wide and her eyebrows moved elegantly like the movements of a swan. Her golden bangles rang loudly proclaiming victory as she took a vermilion flower bomb in her lotus palm and fired it at Krishna's chest. This broke Krishna's rapture. Then, to the delight of all the gopas and gopis, Krishna sprung into action, grabbed a flower bomb, and chased after Radhika. He looked just like an angry lion whose sleep had been interrupted. Lalita confronted Krishna and said, "O crest jewel of relishers, which playful girl threw that vermilion ball on your chest? It appears that she did not really throw a ball at you, but actually offered you her love. Do you know her name? Indeed, she always enchants you. But now is not a good time to become bewildered. Think it over very carefully. For nothing you are pursuing my innocent Sakhi." Lost in the bliss of Holi, Krishna ignored Lalita and kept chasing Radha. Then Radhika smiled slightly and cast the playful waves of her glances at Shyama Sakhi before hiding amongst her girlfriends. Catching Shyama Sakhi, Krishna smeared colors on her hair, forehead, cheeks, and breasts. Considering that an unfair act, Bakulamala, Shyamasakhi's girlfriend, loudly said, "Hey, Shyamasundara, that witty girl who pelted your chest with a flower bomb now throws out pearls with her flashing white smile. The radiance of her beautiful face mocks the glowing full moon. Why did you leave her aside to harass my innocent friend?" After listening to Bakulamala, Krishna directed his attention toward Radhika instead of Shyam. Eager and full of passion, Krishna approached Radhika and said, "O proud girl, come here and show your strength by throwing these balls at me." Being overwhelmed by Radhika's presence, Krishna smiled slightly and cast a sidelong glance as he moved closer to his beloved. Radhika shouted a command, "O Sakhi, surround him and smash him with your flower bombs." With indistinct voices sounding like sweet cuckoos, the Sakhis chanted, "Gero, Gero," which means surround, "Maro, Maro," kill. The effulgent young gopis almost captured Krishna, the relisher of transcendental bliss. The sportive son of Nanda Maharaj struck back by splashing the gopis with a volley of colors. The gopis responded with a shower of flower bombs. Aiming his jeweled pitchkari, Krishna completely drenched the gopis with streams of fragrant kunkuma and sandalwood-scented water. Although repulsed by Krishna's furious attack, the gopis regrouped and repeatedly tried to capture him. The colored waters of Holi washed away every bit of the gopis' shyness. Encouraged by their increased numbers, spontaneous affection, and agitated hearts, the gopis surrounded their beloved just like moonbeams encircling a cloud. All the directions reverberated with the sweet love songs of Matangi and her host of kinneris, accompanied by veenas and other musical instruments. The bangles on the lotus stem arms of the gopis jingled softly as they threw flower balls at the Emperor of Love. Bumblebees, cuckoos, and other exotic birds hummed and warbled pleasingly. The creepers danced according to the instructions of the wind. Krishna's intimate friends like Subal sang the Vasanta Rag. Some boys threw flower bombs and colored powders on each other. Batu, the expert joker, performed an ecstatic dance full of mirth, their bangles chiming sweetly like the chirping of intoxicated sparrows. The gopis raised their lotus stem arms and again attacked Krishna. This time, instead of resisting, Krishna pretended to be too weak and tired to fight back. On the pretext of resting and catching his breath, Krishna stopped playing for a short time. While Krishna rested, the gopis stole his flute, pitchkuri, flower bow, and arrows. One clever gopi even tried to remove Krishna's ornaments. But Radhika stopped her with a hint of her eyebrows because she did not want Krishna to be humiliated in his defeat. Then Radhika tenderly wiped the perspiration and colored powders from Krishna's lotus face with the edge of her sari. Radha deeply relished the sweetness of serving her beloved hero after the battle. Taking tumbula from the hand of a maidservant, Radhika put it in Krishna's mouth. With the movements of her eyebrows, Radhika directed Shyamasakhi to gently fan her lord. Seeing the gopis covered with colored powder, Madhumanga laughed and danced about while moving his shoulders and twisting his neck. He loudly shouted, "Hey, hey! Oh, Subal and my friends, we have won! Today Krishna has broken the pride of the famous daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Now she spontaneously serves him like a humble maidservant. What could be more amusing? Although our dear friend Krishna is slightly exhausted from the Battle of Holi, he shines gloriously with his triumph. This is certainly befitting. Alas, alas, how could Krishna not be victorious? With a counselor like me, success is automatically guaranteed." After saying this, Batu happily raised his arms and danced about blissfully. All the gopis and gopas thoroughly enjoyed the funny antics of Batu. Overwhelmed with delight and satisfaction, Radhika gave him her own pearl necklace. The Vanadevis, led by Brinda and Matungi, rejoiced upon seeing the sweet, loving exchanges of Krishna and the gopis. Everyone experienced the greatest happiness by playing Holi. Concluding the festival of spring, Krishna played his flute and walked away with his friends. They entered a shady grove to rest amidst the pleasing sound of buzzing bees. Losing their gravity, the boys submerged in an ocean of joy as they smelled the sweet aroma of the forest flowers. Radha, who was expert in the 64 arts, relished unlimited happiness during the holy pastime. Pleased with the superb musical performance of Matungi and her associates, Radhika gave them many valuable presents and dismissed them. Afterwards, Radhika and her friends relaxed in a beautiful mango grove wherein Krishna had often played. Joking and laughing, Radhika and her intimate sakis then enjoyed a sumptuous feast.
Jai Om Radhe, Jai Om Krishna, Jai Om Vrindavan, Jai Om Radhe.